a lullaby fit for a king. You are wonderful, little prince of peace, tiny counselor, almighty God. You are ancient of days, precious newborn king, I am. Shepherds came this blessed babe to see. Mary marveled at the mystery. Only simple faith could help them understand that he would be the crucified lamb. So she said to her sweet little lamb, "You are wonderful, little prince of peace, tiny counselor, almighty God. You are ancient of days, precious newborn king, I am."
Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. One of the things that we try to do here at Grace Baptist Church, we try to get young people acclimated to sit in church. And we normally provide junior church every Sunday morning, but whenever there's five Sundays in a month, we try to get the kids to sit out in big church, all right? And that in time hopefully will help them to acclimate to sitting in church. If you see some young people maybe that rode in on the bus and they don't have anybody to sit with as an adult, feel free to go and sit with them and help them to pay attention. All right? Now, the older I get, the more I forget things. So if I see kids fidgeting and fussing and moving around, I have to start over. All right? So, make sure you pay attention. Otherwise, I might have to start over three or four times, and we won't get out of here till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So, yeah, amen. All right. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, look at verse number 6 through verse number 8. The Apostle Paul is speaking here. His very last words before he exits this world. He said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before thee, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, and Lord, for the close of another year. I pray, Lord, as we usher in a new year next Sunday, Lord, we do so with anticipation, looking forward to the blessings of God, the opportunities, Lord, to serve you even in a greater way. We ask and pray, Lord, now that you'd be with your word, speak to hearts. Do the work in our lives, Lord, that is most necessary. If there's someone here today that's lost, never received forgiveness, I pray, Lord, today that they would trust Christ. And Lord, if there's someone here today that is distant from thee, help them, Lord, to exit this year well. We'll give you the praise and glory for everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it is hard to believe that 2017 is just a few hours from being over. I was writing a check not long ago, and I wrote down 1978. I have no idea where my mind was at. But time has progressed since then. And every year, we say that over and over. We think, where has time gone? The older I get, it seems like the faster time goes. My mom told me that when I was just younger, and I said, yeah, right. She says, now the older you get, the faster time's going to go. Just make sure you use all the time you can for the Lord. And I'm thinking, okay, yeah, right. And you know what? I'm where she was at then. And I tell my children, and I say, look, time just flies. You better buckle your seatbelt, enjoy the ride, because before you know it, you're going to be old like me. Thank you. It's hard to believe that I've been here for 32 years at Grace Baptist Church. This April, I've been up here for 32 years. Some of you have been here since the very beginning. I'm thankful for that. But if the Lord gives me another 32 years, I'll be 92. Now, that's possible. Amen. And if God would give me another 60 years, I guess I'd be as old as Moses. You know, we stop and think about it. Time just flies. This year's gone. We are at the beginning of a new year. Now, I don't think I'm going to see 120 years old. I certainly hope not. I don't even know if I want to see 92 years old. I personally think the Lord is going to come back before that. Everything, boy, I tell you what, isn't it exciting watching the news, what's happening over in the Middle East? All of those things are falling right into Bible prophecy. And listen, it's not going to be long before the trumpet sounds and calls us out of here. And I'm looking forward to that. I hope that you are too. I believe the Lord's going to return, and he could come back at any time. Years ago, Jack Van Impe, an evangelist, had a little pin that he used to give away. It was in the shape of a trumpet and it had two words on it. And it said, perhaps today. Perhaps today, my Lord will come for me. Maybe today, his blessed face I'll see. Maybe today, I'm going to leave this world behind. Are you looking forward to that? I tell you what, I hope that we never get a chance to have watch night service. Right in the middle of our afternoon meal, I hope the Lord comes back and we'll never have to worry about all the shovel and snow again, amen? We won't have to worry about all the trials of life. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward for that. But you know, whether he returns today or God sends his death angel for me, I need to be ready to exit. And I need to be ready to exit God's way. Now, in this past year, I was watching the news and it showed all the different people that passed away. Celebrities and people that were in politics and people that were in the music industry, and it listed all of these people, and I'm thinking, yeah, I remember him, and I remember her, and I remember him. You know, as I was looking at that list of people, I thought to myself, I wonder if they were ready to exit. Now, let me just say, there are some that were not ready. There were some that were living in adultery, and there were some that were living in a blasphemous life, and they'd shaken their fist in the face of God. Let me just say, I don't believe that they were ready to stand before God. I don't believe that they were ready to go ahead and exit this world and enter into eternity. I need to make sure when I'm ready to exit, I exit God's way. As we look at the text this morning, the Apostle Paul is at the end of his life. He is in a Roman prison, and according to most commentators, they say that 2 Timothy was written in the summer of 68 AD.
Several commentators that I was reading on this passage of Scripture, they said that they actually believed that it was written about 2 weeks before Paul was taken out of the prison, taken to the executioner's block, and there they took his head from his shoulders. And the Apostle Paul gave his life for preaching the gospel and for the cause of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, in his short life, made a great impact for Christ. About 1/4 of the New Testament was penned by the Apostle Paul. The effects of his missionary journeys and his church planting are actually still felt today. We are actually a result of what took place during the lifetime of the Apostle Paul and his missionary journeys. The effects of his missionary journeys, 2,000 years or more, have lasted. The Apostle Paul is quoted more often than anybody else in the Bible except for Jesus Christ. This passage deals with his final words. He is ready to exit this old world, and he's ready to stand before God. He was exiting, and he was doing it God's way. This morning, I want to share with you just 4 simple thoughts. As we get ready to exit this year and begin a new year, I want you to think about how the Apostle Paul was ready to exit this life and start a brand new one on the other side of glory. Amen. I want you to notice what it says in verse number 6. How was the Apostle Paul ready to exit? I want you to notice in verse number 6, it says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." I want you to look at one particular word there in verse number 6, and it is the word offered. The Apostle Paul said, "I am now ready to be offered." Listen, there was no complaining, there was no griping, there was no pointing fingers, there was no name calling, there was no crying out for injustices. The Apostle Paul, he was put in prison and he was ready to be executed because he was preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, and he was dying because he was a Christian. But you'll never see him crying out, "Social injustice, I'm being wronged." My wife and I, we went to Oregon yesterday. And we had to stop at Walmart. Not a great thing to do right after Christmas. The lines were long. People were returning things. And we did what we had to do. We got back in the car and we went to leave. And I noticed that there was a truck that was parked and just stopped. And we couldn't back up. There was 5 or 6 cars behind him. I thought, well, maybe this guy's got vehicle problems. It was cold outside. And I walked up, and there was an elderly gentleman, probably in his, I suppose, in his 80s, sitting in his pickup truck right in the middle of the drive. And there was another car that was trying to come the wrong way. And there was a teenager that rolled his window down and was cursing and screaming at this old guy. And I walked up and I tapped on the window of the pickup truck and I said, "Sir, is everything okay?" He says, "They want me to back up. They want me to move. There's a string of cars behind me. I can't move. And they're parked right in front of me." He says, "I'm just going to sit here." Really, he couldn't do anything else. He was blocked. So I walked up to the car, and the loaded full of individuals, and the young man rolled his window down and started screaming out racial slurs. "This crazy old white man." I said, "Whoa." And all of a sudden, everybody in the car started screaming and cussing. And the mom behind the wheel started getting one of those neck jerk things going on, you know, and hollering and screaming. And I looked over at her. I says, "Ma'am, the Lord loves you." All of a sudden, everybody just shut up. You could have heard a pin drop. I said, "I don't know what's going on here. I just want to go home." She looked at me. She says, "Because you're nice, I'm going to move my car." I said, "Well, that's good." I says, "You know you're going the wrong way anyway." She says, "There's no signs." I says, "All the vehicles are parked. You can't go down this way." "Well, because you're nice, I'm going to back up." I says, "Praise the Lord." You know, so many times we want to cry out, "We've been wronged, social injustice." Listen, we don't have a thing to gripe about. Amen? When you stop and look at what the Apostle Paul was going through, and just because he was sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, he was preaching the word of God, they threw him into prison, and eventually they chopped his head off. We think, "I've been wronged." We don't even know what that really means. Not in this country. As I was telling about Nadar Barati over in Ethiopia, during Sunday school class, he Facebooked me in an instant messenger and said, "Please pray for us. Our community, our village is under attack, and Muslim extremists have come in and they've killed pastors, and they've came into a church and made false professions of faith. And as the pastor was there praying with them, one of them took out a knife and slit his throat and did all kinds of atrocities there in the church." Listen, we do not know just how bad other people in the world has it, and we really don't have any right to complain and to gripe. Amen? We really don't. I want you to notice that word "poured." The Apostle Paul said, in verse number 6, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered." That word "offered" has to do with being poured out as an offering. When the Jews, according to the law, when an offering was made, and the offering was sacrificed, before the offering was sacrificed, a drink offering had to be prepared. They took so much wine, so much flour, and so much oil and mixed it together. And then before the offering was actually sacrificed, they would take that and they would pour it out as a drink offering upon the head of the one that was going to be sacrificed. This passage of Scripture, Paul is saying, "I am now ready to be offered. I'm now ready to be poured out." He knew that his life was coming to an end. He was willing to be a sacrifice for the cause of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 17 says, "Yea, and if I be offered," same word used there, "if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all." The Apostle Paul said, "Look, I am happy to go ahead and die for the cause of Christ, that I might go ahead and further your faith and your devotion for the Lord." The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." A living sacrifice. "Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." You know, we stop and think about sacrificial living. And it's hard just to get people to come to church. "Oh, I've done God a great service because I showed up." Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're here. But listen, For most of us, showing up for church is not a sacrifice. I remember a number of years ago, there was a lady that came to church, and she had a stroke, and she was all crippled up on one side and could barely walk. And the lady got saved, and she was all excited about it. And she said, "Preacher, I need to get baptized." I says, "Yes, you do." She says, "How in the world am I going to do that?" I says, "Where there's a will, there's a way. We'll figure it out." And so we got several people to help her, and up she went, and she couldn't walk. But God gave her the strength, along with a few helping hands, and she walked up the stairs, down inside of the baptistry. We baptized her friend at the same time, and they both walked out together. Listen, for her, that was a big deal. For her, that was a great sacrifice because she couldn't even hardly walk. The Apostle Paul talked about it being a living sacrifice. It's a reasonable service. Listen, we really don't have a whole lot of excuse. Adam Clark said concerning this passage of Scripture, he said, I'm now ready to be offered. He says, that term means I am already poured out as a libation. In other words, as an offering. He considers himself as on the eve of being sacrificed and looked upon his blood as the libation which was poured upon the sacrificial offering. In other words, the drink offering. Number one, as we exit, let's exit God's way. The Apostle Paul exited being a living sacrifice. Are you willing to be a living sacrifice? Oh, not blaming everybody else, not playing the blame game, not pulling out the race card and all those other things and say, well, you know, everybody's against me. No. Why don't we just go ahead and accept God's will for our life and be willing to say, Lord, whatever you have for me, I'm willing to accept it. That's what the Apostle Paul was willing to do. Lord, whatever you have for me, I'm willing to accept it. I want you to notice the second thing. As Paul was ready to exit this world, verse number 6 says, for I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. The Apostle Paul, he was ready to go. Not everybody is ready. I've talked to a lot of people as they're ready to leave this world. And you know what? They say, well, you know, preacher, I'm ready. I went to visit this one lady. She was dying of cancer. And I went to her and I called her by name. And she says, preacher, I'm ready to go. I says, are you? And I talked to her about 10 minutes. And at the end of 10 minutes, she bowed her head and cried out to God and asked God to save her. I told her, now you're ready to go. Amen. And about 3 days later, she went. Not everybody that says they're ready to go is really ready to go. When I get my final boarding pass, my flight to eternity, there's three things I want that boarding pass to say. Number one, saved. Because if you're not saved, you're not ready to go. Saved. The word means to be delivered. With salvation, you receive forgiveness. Have you received God's forgiveness? Because that's why we need salvation. Because we have wronged a holy and a righteous God. And we need his forgiveness, which comes through Jesus Christ. So I'm just going to be the best person I can be. The prophet Isaiah said, all of our righteousness is unto God but filthy rags. There is nothing we can do to undo the things that we've done in the past. We need a sacrifice. That sacrifice is Jesus Christ. When I get my final boarding pass to eternity, I want it to say saved. Will yours say that? Number two, I want it to say serving. I want to serve God till the day I die, or until the day the trumpet sounds and calls me to glory. If the trumpet would sound today, would your boarding pass say saved and serving? I wanted to say one more thing. As I exit this world, right with God. Right with God. Now listen, we all struggle with that from day to day, don't we? I mean, from day to day, the pressures of the world come upon us. The temptations that the devil throws out before us. We all have to deal with that. And may we strive to enter in pure and clean and right with God. I'll be honest with you, sometimes that's a struggle. It's a struggle for all of us. Even Jesus said to the disciples, pray that ye enter not into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, we've got to deal with the flesh. The world and the flesh and the devil, they all want to try to drag us down. But listen, when I get my final boarding pass, I want it to say saved. I want it to say serving. I want it to say right with God as I step into eternity and I stand before God. Look at verse 7. The Apostle Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Oh, I could break down each one of those things and talk about each one of those little aspects of that. And certainly, you have a course to finish, and I have a course to finish. It might not be the same thing, but it ends up in the same place. Amen. Before God. But I want you to notice verse 7. Verse 7 gives us this idea. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The Apostle Paul is dealing with persevering. Persevering. God help us to persevere. Not to quit, not to give up. Listen, the world is filled full of quitters. Has-beens. Well, I has been this and I has been that. You know, there are some people that they have started the race with Christ. And they started right. But they don't end up very well. Not only do I want to start right, I want to finish right. Amen? I want to finish as I pick up the baton and I run the course that God has laid before me. I want to go ahead and finish the race that God has set before me, and I want to finish it well. God wants us to persevere. God doesn't want us to quit. God give us some men and some women and some young boys and some young girls and some teenagers that'll say, by the grace of God, I'm going to go on and I'm going to serve God. And listen, if the rest of my school doesn't want anything to do with it, I'm going to serve God. If the people who I work with doesn't want anything to do with God, I'm going to go ahead and serve God. If my family are going to reject me, I'm going to go ahead and serve God anyway. Amen. Listen. God help us not to give up. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse number 62, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In Hebrews 10:38, it says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. In James 1:12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. In Revelation 2:10, it says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Listen, God wants us to be faithful. God wants us to persevere. God doesn't want us to quit. Amen? As Paul exited, he was persevering. He ran the race. He finished his course. He did not quit. And then look at verse number 8, and I'm going to close. In verse number 8, the Apostle Paul said, henceforth, in other words, because of this, because he fought a good fight, because he finished his course, because he kept the faith, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. What day? A future day. A day when he's going to stand before God. A day when the Apostle Paul is in heaven. Give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. I want you to notice the fourth thing. First of all, Paul exited as he was a living sacrifice. He exited and he was ready to go. He exited and he was still persevering, not quitting. And as he exited, he looked to the future. He looked to the future. And as we exit 2017, by the grace of God, help us to look to the future. Maybe you had some failures in 2017. Haven't we all? The Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You'll never build tomorrow's future on yesterday's failures or even today's successes. Every day God gives us a new day, and every day we need to begin with God and we need to close it out with God. I want you to notice, as Paul exited, he looked to the future. He looked to heaven, that day when he was going to stand before God. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to heaven. You know, I've talked to a lot of older people, and they're, as Christians, they're ready to exit this world. And many times they'll say, you know, preacher, I'm ready to go. I've got more on that side that I know than what I know on this side. And I'm just looking forward to seeing them again. You know, the older I get, the more I understand that. One day I'm going to get to see my mom again, and my dad, and my grandma, and two of my uncles that I know of, and all of my Grandma Hattie's brothers and sisters, which I never really got a chance to meet, but I heard testimonies about them, how that they knew Christ. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing my Uncle Gene again. Well, I'll tell you what, he was a character. He really was. But love God. Paul was looking to the future. He was looking towards heaven. He was looking forward to that time when he was going to be rewarded. Listen, he did what was right, and he was rewarded with a prison cell here in this world. He did that which was right, and he was awaiting an executioner to come to his cell. One day he is going to be rewarded. He's going to be given a crown of righteousness that fadeth not away. And as he looked to the future, he looked to the righteous judge. And that judge is going to judge righteously. The Apostle Paul said, as he stood before him, not standing before him, having my own righteousness, which is the law, but the righteousness which is of Jesus Christ. He's going to stand before the righteous judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was ready to exit this world. He was ready. He had no regrets. We are ready to leave 2017. We're ready to exit. We're ready to start a brand new year. How will you exit? How will you exit 2017? Will you exit being saved? Will you exit serving God? Will you exit being right with God? God help us. You see, we don't know. We may know when the calendar year is going to end, but we don't know when the Lord's going to come. And we don't know when the death angel may come knocking on our door. Pray for the Cassidy family up there in the Oregon Bono area. Three of them stepped off into eternity the day after Christmas. One of them just got out of the hospital that day and was driving home and went off the road and car flipped over in Cooley Canal and three of them drowned. I'll guarantee you when they left the hospital, none of them expected to meet God. And I can tell you story after story of individuals that happened. I remember one time we were driving through Faustoria, my wife and I, and we were coming up past the Faustoria City Hospital coming up on approaching Vine Street. And a car was flying through the intersection. They just got out of a basketball game and a pickup truck hit this Honda Accord broadside, spun him around, and we saw the flashing lights. 10 seconds sooner, it would have been us. The Honda Accord ended up in the hospital parking lot. I got out of the car. The kids were just real little, and I went down there, and I helped pull this man out of this car. Ran into the hospital. They brought a gurney right out of the hospital. He met God that night. I went to work. I was telling somebody about it. And the person I worked with, she said, that was my husband's uncle. He was down to Faustoria, and they were having a groom's party for him because in 2 weeks he was getting married up in Michigan. He was a doctor or a dentist or something. Sad. I'll guarantee you, listen, when he left Michigan to come down to Faustoria, he probably never imagined that he would meet God. You see, none of us think those things. But as we exit, we all ought to be ready. And as we exit 2017, let's go ahead and exit God's way. Saved, serving, right with God. Amen. I hope and pray that's what everybody's boarding pass says and has stamped on it as we exit this world. The only way it's going to happen is every day you make sure it says that. Amen? Let's bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed, today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God loves you and He wants to save your soul. He wants to go ahead and offer you His forgiveness. And today, if you've never trusted Christ, in just a moment, Brother Ben's going to sing a verse of invitation. We're going to invite you to come. You need to exit God's way. Listen, if you've never follow the Lord and believers' baptism, you need to exit God's way. If you're looking for a good church home, you need to exit God's way. If you haven't been faithful in reading your Bible and praying, listen, you need to exit God's way and make a decision. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to end right so I can start right next year. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that you just bless in a great way. Help us, Lord, to exit the right way, like the Apostle Paul was willing to exit. Help us, Lord, to be that willing sacrifice, being poured out for the cause of Christ, just being accepting of your will, not having my own will accomplished, but Lord, whatever you would have for us. Lord, I pray that you do a great work in our life. Draw us close to thee. We'll give you the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand, please.